years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
And Bob is taking day off. My name's Tom Bakar. I'm sitting in once a month with him. Glad to do it, honored to do it. And we're going to talk today to Ralph McLaughlin, who's the chief economist of Trulia, Trulia.com, which is one of the, it's really a website that really tracks the economics and the sales and the business of real estate in a way that is very detailed and very forthcoming for people to understand how a market is doing, what they might get into if they buy there, what they might get into if they sell there, et cetera, et cetera. So, Ralph, I want to welcome you to the show, first of all.
Hi, Tom.
Let me ask you this. The traditional selling season, which is to say people buying homes in the spring and summer in order to make sure that they're ready to go back to school with their kids in the fall, has obviously ended now. How went the year so far? Did people make money on their houses, you know, overall speaking, and maybe with some specific generalities, but with some specificity in certain markets?
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the country as a whole, you know, over the last year, people have had actually pretty decent returns on their homes. Nationally, it's about 5%. That's down a little bit, you know, from previous years, but still very healthy and still greater than inflation. But if you look at what's going on in individual markets, you see pretty large disparities, actually. The three markets that are actually leading the U.S. in returns year over year are Portland, Denver, and Seattle. Those markets are growing 10, 11, 12%. And that's actually interesting because we've seen somewhat of a reversal. San Francisco for many months was actually leading the charge, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15%. It settled back down a bit, down around 5, 6, 7% year over year. So, you know, it's been a very healthy housing market this spring buying season. If you're a buyer, you're, you know, going to spend more for a house, obviously. So not so great if you're a buyer, but for sellers, it's been good. But the story of low inventory that we've been focused on is there, and it's actually getting worse.
Is that true across the Midwest? I mean, I know that it's not as robust a market, but how's it doing?
You know, the Midwest is doing okay, actually. We're seeing signs of life in some markets. And in fact, you know, the epitome of sort of the down and out Rust Belt market, Detroit, is actually showing signs of life. It's prices there are actually growing more than inflation. Still has a very, very long way to go. Don't know if Detroit's ever going to fully recover back, but there are signs of life in that market. And there are a lot of other places in the Midwest that are actually a great place to be if you're a buyer, just because they're so affordable. You know, the median home buyer, many markets, you know, Toledo, Dayton, St. Louis wouldn't have to spend any more than say 15 or 20% of their income on a house. And that's actually a great deal, especially if you're a young first time home buyer.
What about the southeastern tier of states?
So Southeast Florida, you know, Florida is really driving the Southeast. We're actually seeing also some healthy activity in the Carolinas, you know, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, so on and so forth. But, you know, the Florida markets that are really really driving that Southeast economy, really looking at Miami, Cape Coral, and Fort Lauderdale.
Well, the number to call is 1-800-934-2221. Again, that's 1-800-934-2221. Ralph McLaughlin here from Trulia. Ralph, let me ask you this question. What about, you know, the house as an investment? Most people buy a house in order to live in it. Now, after the recession, of course, a lot of investors came in and they bought houses and fixed them up to rent them. And I think now some of them are deciding that it's time to sell them so they can really cash in on what's going on. Talk to me about the, you know, the long haul, the 30-year return on investment that most people can expect or are seeing.
Yeah, so there's an interesting story, actually, if you look back over the last 30 years at the returns that homeowners have had on their house. And just like I mentioned previously, that there's been a regional disparity, you know, if you look over the last year or two, there's even greater disparity if you look back over the last 30 years. Let me give you an example to demonstrate this. If you were a median home buyer, bought the median house in the San Francisco Bay Area in 1986, and you just finished paying off your mortgage, and maybe you're getting ready to sell your house, or you just sold your house, you would have netted about $900,000 in the value of your home over that time, which is, you know, it's quite a bit of money to your average person. If you compare that to places like Rochester, New York, or Memphis, if you bought a home in those markets in 1986, you only gained about $53,000 in equity on average, and that's a big difference. That's a real big difference. And in fact, if you compare places like San Francisco or San Jose or other California markets, Los Angeles, the median homeowner in this region has actually earned more than the median homeowner in the 10 markets where housing prices have actually grown the least, combined. So if you add up, the median homeowner in Fort Worth about 30 years ago, they earned about $76,000, Memphis 53, El Paso 55. If you add up those 10 markets, that is less than what the median homeowner in San Francisco earned. So, we're really seeing a situation, at least over the last 30 years, where the most expensive markets are actually growing more expensive relative to the least expensive markets. It's this idea of convergence or divergence. We're seeing a divergence in the housing market in the U.S. And that has real implications for, say, wealth equality and how that gets passed down to generations. And, you can make a lot more money if you've inherited $900,000 in investing than you can if you have $50,000.
But having said that, I think one of your sister companies, Zillow, they did a study and they found that people living, as an example, in the San Francisco market, are more than half of them when they look immediately outside the market, which is to say in the counties that haven't grown nearly as much, or in the region and very often even out of state. Is there going to be a time when people are going to try to cash out of this thing? I mean, a lot of boomers are retiring right now and go to some place which may not have as much growth but would have less congestion, would have less in the way of crime and all of the other things that, go along with working in a really vibrant market. Is there a chance that some of this money is going to get repatriated to these poor places simply because people have had it with the high lifestyle and want to live someplace where it's a little more peaceful?
Well, theory would suggest, yes, that should happen at some point. We're not seeing signs that we are there, that we've crossed that point. It may be a year off. It may be 10 years off. People were saying the same thing 15, 20 years ago in the Bay Area, and it really hasn't happened. But we are starting to see signs. We look at migration patterns of where people in the Bay Area are actually moving to. Those that live in the Bay Area and move to another part of the Bay Area actually overwhelmingly are going to the East Bay. And the East Bay, Oakland's more affordable than San Francisco and San Jose. If you look outside the Bay Area, they're going to cheaper markets nearby, Sacramento, Stockton. If you look outside of California, they're going to other markets that are sort of California, San Francisco-esque as far as their economy's concerned. Austin, Denver, and Seattle that have a higher share of their economy in tech than most places, but they are more affordable.
Is this true for other hot markets around the country? Because San Francisco is just one place.
It is. There are a few other expensive places. Boston, New York, where. It is starting to take up, buying a home is starting to take up a lot more of your income. But we aren't seeing as pronounced migration away from, those markets as we are in the Bay Area. So the big question is at what point, what's that critical point going to be when, people who are living in the Bay Area, especially renters, renters don't benefit from increased rents. Homeowners do. Really to say, hey, I'm just not going to, I can't live here anymore. Or people that might move here that decide not to because they can't afford to do so. Bay Area's most expensive place to live in the U.S. It's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. So, that point, might not be far off.
Talk to me about another metric, which I think is really important, and that is the percentage of home ownership in the United States compared to history.
We just hit a 50-year low in the U.S. home ownership rate. I mean, think about that, 50-year low. The last time we saw this low home ownership rate was 1966. That's that's crazy, right? You know, homeownership has been, quintessential part of the American dream. You know, you buy a house, you get two cars, you raise a family. That starts some concern from both sides of the political spectrum that you know, America has gone wrong. I'm not as pessimistic. In fact, I'm actually quite optimistic about what's going on. So at face value, it's a little disturbing, especially if you're a fan of the housing market, you're a fan of housing, the benefits that, mm-hmm. that come from it. And the reason why I'm not as concerned is because if you take a close look at demographics, it really starts to paint a better picture of what's happening and why the homeownership rate might be low. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the share of the U.S. population that's between 18 and 35, they are the biggest generation. And 18 to 35-year-olds tend to not own homes at rates that older generations do. It's just a fact.
Sure.
You tend to buy a home, the older you get. And so what we're seeing is that these young persons are starting to move out of their parents' basements. A record high share of them were still living with their parents mm-hmm. Last year. They're starting to move out, and they're starting to form households, and that's a good thing for the economy. They're going on their own, but the household types that they're forming are actually renter households. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things you do, right? If you move out of your parents' basement, you typically don't jump into home ownership. You don't go out and say, I'm going to buy a home. Usually it's you find a roommate or so, and you find a place to rent, and you do that for a few years, and then you buy. So I think if you look at underlying U.S. demographics, it's not as pessimistic of a picture of the housing market as you might think. But on the flip side, for those that are thinking about investing in housing, that's maybe a sign that of opportunity. People still need a place to live, right? And if most new households forming are renter households, that leads to strong demand for rental units, which tends to make the rental market pretty pretty steady, at least in the short run. Not as bleak of a picture as you might think, at face value.
Okay, you're listening to Ralph McLaughlin, the chief economist for Trulia.com. If you want to get involved in this conversation, know something about your community, something about the proper way to sell a house, the proper way to package a house, all this stuff, he's well-schooled in all of this stuff. The number to call is 1-800-934-2221. 1-800-934-2221. My name is Tom Bakar, sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week. And this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
When you're investing, you always try your best, but sometimes you make mistakes, and that's okay because you can get better. And the same goes for your credit. By enrolling in Experian Credit Works, you get all the tools and personal support you need to help you understand and manage your credit. Because credit isn't just a score, it's a skill. So start your trial today at Experian.com and be better at credit at Experian.com.
Going back to my bank and saying, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite. 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days. But she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite.
.com 859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy. Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's only 2 weeks left to get a free month supply of Genucel with your order today. That's right. They're giving away a free month supply of Genucel if you call right now. You've heard me rave about the most effective under-eye bags and puffiness treatment called Genucel Plant Stem Cell Therapy. With its immediate effects, you'll see results in 12 hours. That's guaranteed, or you get your money back. Here's Patricia, a real user from Newport Beach. She said, I've been using this product for over a year now, and I love it. I never go without having another tube on hand. It's amazing. Call right now, and you'll also be the first in the world to try the brand new fourth generation Esotique XV Collagen Builder even before its official launch. It'll blow your mind, and it's absolutely free with your order of Genucel today. Give them a call, 800-663-2495, 800-663-2495. Once the sale's gone, it's gone. Call right now, and shipping's also free, 800-663-2495. That's 800-663-2495.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Brien, CEO of Postings.com. BBB knows that we pride ourselves on helping businesses of all sizes find the best candidates for their open positions. Earning an A-plus rating from the BBB demonstrates our commitment to providing exceptional customer service. We strive to make hiring easy. Our BBB accreditation proves that you can trust us to help you find your next great employee. Postings.com invites you to check out our reviews at bbb.org or post your jobs at postings.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. Feedthepig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk.
Tom Baker sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking day off. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go right to the phones. We've got a lot of calls, and we'll begin with the first caller, who is Ignacio in Long Beach, California. Ignacio, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Question. I'm from the currently living in Long Beach, and just wanted to get your take on Long Beach, California. When, as an investor, when I look at, you know, California, obviously San Francisco stands out, and I feel like it's just really overpriced. And so logically, I think, okay, so what's the next city that has the potential to be like a San Francisco? And I really feel like Long Beach has that potential because it's, you know, it has water, or it's downtown is right next to, you know, the ocean, and they're doing a lot of development there. It's very clean, and their local government is really on top of, you know, presenting it as a kind of world-class city. Just wanted to see if you had any insight about, Long Beach itself, or just in general about Southern California and its, real estate market. And I'll take the answer offline. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, thanks for calling, Ignacio. I was just in Long Beach yesterday, actually, telling Tom here during the during the break. It's a lovely city. I used to live in Southern California, and Long Beach has gone through several phases of redevelopment. It's you know, sort of a far cry of what it used to be, which was basically just a port town, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, the trajectory of Long Beach developing out, you know, is probably likely to stay on course. The question of whether or not it's going to be the next San Francisco, I think, is a big one. I don't see it being a big tech center. It's certainly possible. There has been discussion of, you know, sort of Silicon Beach in Southern California, near Santa Monica and Venice. And I think if there is going to be a booming, you know, relocation of tech into Southern California, it's probably likely to be in those submarkets or possibly in Orange County where there is, you know, some tech already there. But again, Long Beach is a great city. It's fairly central as far as Southern California is concerned. Southern California market in general is a fairly well-diversified economy, which is good news for long-term investment. Southern California has a large share of young persons. So if you want to invest in rental housing, that's also a good thing. And it's a world city. So, people immigrate from all over the world into Southern California, Long Beach. So, I would say there are worse bets you can make.
Let's try one more. Let's go to Matt in Cohasset, Minnesota. Matt, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a recent retiree in Northern Minnesota, and we do have three properties already in Florida, one near Disney and one north of Tampa, St. Pete, that we rent out. But I'm just wondering if you think that is the market still going to hang in there for rentals? And also, do you think a person should be incorporating their rentals?
All right, go ahead, Ralph. Thank you for the call, Matt.
It's a very good question. So first is Florida going to be a good market? And second, should you incorporate? I'm more of an expert on the first than the second, but I could try to address housing in itself doesn't really provide that great of an investment compared to the stock market. But in certain areas, it can. Florida is, a market that is, or many Florida markets, I should say, do pretty well, tend to outperform, the national average. So that's a good sign. Also from a broader demographic shift, like we talked about earlier, the homeownership rate is likely to continue to drop. And that applies everywhere just because there are a lot of young people that are forming households. So if you want to invest in rental units, again, you got to look at the specific unit, consider what the cash flow is relative to your needs. It's Orlando area, if you can't rent it out, as a long-term 1-year lease, there might be possibilities for short-term. So it's okay. Second bit, incorporate, probably talk to a financial planner. You need to look at, how many properties you own and whether or not it benefits to do so.
You're listening to Ralph McLaughlin, Chief Economist for Trulia. We'll be back with more calls. But for now, this is Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
Here's a free business tip. Work with people you trust. When you work with us, your business becomes our business, and we take that very seriously. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you. Learn more at usps.com/forbusiness.
I'm business analyst Jill Schlesinger with a small business success story sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service. Hue and Cry, an online retailer of better-fitting menswear, has created a better-sizing system based on body types, not traditional sizing. Co-founder Philip Soriano says USPS remains the most cost-effective way to ship our products, and as an inventory-holding business, margin and cash flow are critical. Philip knows that when you rely on the U.S. Postal Service, your business becomes their business. The U.S. Postal Service. Priority you.
One last tip before we go. Hire people that can help your business reach new heights. Ship with us and reach every corner of the country. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you. Learn more at usps.com/forbusiness.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reese and Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 3030. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 3030.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Pushy salespeople, fake sales, the walk of shame out of the mattress store? Those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Hi, can I have 2 steak tacos?
Flour or corn?
Oh, no tortillas. And no steak. Also add turkey, lettuce, and tomato. And just put it between 2 slices of bread.
You know this is a taco truck, right?
As a small business owner, you've got enough to deal with. Let the experts at Progressive insure your business so you can focus on whatever that was. With over 30 commercial, auto, and business coverage options, we'll build a plan that's right for you.
Oh, I'll have Swiss on that too. Thank you.
Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is Charles Osgood. Go down the pain relief aisle and you'll see a lot of different pain relievers. But have you tried Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel? It is fast-melting, quick-absorbing, penetrating deep relief. Perfect for sore muscles or joints. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel has 3 powerful active ingredients that work for up to 8 full hours. In fact, nothing else you can buy is proven stronger or more effective against pain. Look for the tall blue box next to the Salonpas patches. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel.
First, Gary from accounting came in with the sniffles. Just a cold, he said, but it was not a cold. Then Janet breaks out in a heavy sweat. That's the flu. Then round and round the office it goes. But when it's your turn, well, it's not going to be your turn because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're waiting for the coughing, sore throat, aching flu to pass, you can go to the big game. Score! Shield yourself with a flu shot from Rite Aid before it's too late. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Before girls' night out, my eczema flared up. Ugh, I felt like canceling. But then I tried Cortisone 10 Eczema Relief. It's specially formulated for eczema and has 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine for fast, lasting itch relief. It quickly stopped the itch and soothed my red, dry, flaky skin. With Cortisone 10 Eczema Relief, I was ready for girls' night out, and it was the best one ever.
Cortisone 10 Eczema Relief. Feel the heal. Use as directed.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that, who would have guessed? Melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, and in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain, to make not just surgery, radiation chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy is part of their therapy and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is Money Talk.
And we are back. I'm Tom Bakar, sitting in for Bob Bricker, who will be back next week. I'm sitting here with Ralph McLaughlin, who's the chief economist of Trulia.com, which is a fun place to go just to look up and see what houses around you are selling for, or if you're interested in going someplace, what they're selling for there, and lots about the market and how it works. Ralph is their chief economist, and we will go immediately to Cindy in Denver. Cindy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I'm calling about the Denver market. I live in Denver proper. The last 4 years have been very good for purchasing and selling homes. Do you foresee that continuing like next year? Do you believe there'll be a 10 to 15% increase in purchasing homes? And also, do you see the rental market continuing to be a good market for renting homes?
Yeah, so thanks for calling, Cindy. You know, my thoughts on that are twofold. One, that, you know, the Denver market does continue to be a place where people are actually migrating to. So that, you know, long term is a good thing. The other thing to consider, however, is just where we're at in the cycle. You know, we're now, you know, approaching 8 years since the last recession. And most cycles are actually less than that. So if you're trying to buy for short-term gain, you know, odds are we may go into another recession. Probably not as bad as the last one as far as the housing market is concerned, mm-hmm. but something you should certainly think about. If you're in it for the long haul, and especially if you're going to live in it, it is going to be cheaper to buy a home, you know, over 7, 8, 9 year period and live in it than it is to sort of rent the equivalent home.
Well, of course, the big difference between the recession and now is that most of the people who own houses now have the chops to pay for them, because before people were just buying them on 100% credit and sometimes multiple homes. We're not in that kind of a situation at all anymore.
We're not. People are buying homes with equity. You know, you can still get low down payment loans, but, you know, lenders for the most part have kind of learned from, you know, their mistakes of 10 years ago. So, you know, the housing market, I don't think is as risky as it was in 2006, 2007, but, you know, it still can be a risky market to play in.
There you go, Cindy. Now we will go to Drew in Wichita, Kansas, and he has an interesting question about the information that we get about all this stuff. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. Great show today. Mr. McLaughlin, different organizations, including the government, will use the statistic that's most favorable to them. Could you please talk a little bit about the difference between housing starts, housing offers, and housing closings, and the impact that the different reporting using each of those numbers has?
Yeah, so let me just sort of clarify a bit. You know, housing starts is when, you know, a builder actually you know, starts construction on a home. The offers, we tend to think of them, or the official statistic is pending sales, and then closings is existing home sales. And I report on those things every month. And this is actually a very interesting question that I'm happy you got called in. They really are indicators of three different things. New housing starts is how healthy the home building, you know, sector is. And the home building sector, you know, makes up a decent, you know, amount of GDP. So it's an important metric watch. It's sort of a leading, you know, indicator of how the housing market is doing from the construction side. And it's important because housing construction, you know, leads to job creation and employment, so and so forth. So that's the real indicator there. Pending sales or offers usually is used as a leading indicator of existing sales, which is this last metric that you look at. So it's a leading indicator of, well, what are we going to expect next month when it comes to, you know, existing home sales. And both of those are important because they tell you how healthy the resale market is, right? How healthy is it for those who maybe own a home and are looking to sell? And it's also an important metric for those who invest in real estate or those who are actually real estate agents to know, right? Because, you know, the more sales that are on the market, the more opportunity there is to close and sell a home and thus, you know, grow or expand your business. When looking at any of those indicators, actually, if you pay close attention to this, it's important to look at longer-term trends. These numbers are actually very volatile on a month-to-month basis. So, for example, you know, if you look at new housing starts every month, you know, they're up 3% or 7% or down 8%. But that is usually within the margin of error. The margin of errors on these things are like 20%, 25%. So you can't really take any month seriously. Take it with a grain of salt. What you need to do is look at, you know, longer trends. I tend to look at the one-year rolling average because it's not as volatile and you kind of see the trends. We are certainly on an upward trend when it comes to new housing starts, still about 20% below a 50-year average. So that's healthy. That's actually a healthy sign. It's growing. On the resale market, the existing and pending, you know, doing well, increasing, but a lot of that is held back by inventory, the fact that people aren't really selling, putting their homes on the market. And it's tough for the resale market for sales on the resale side to recover if there aren't a lot of homes, right? You can't sell a home that isn't on the market.
You can sell them for more money. Yeah. But you can't sell the volume of homes.
Yeah, you can't sell the volume of homes. People just aren't putting them on the market. So, you know, that's a very good question.
And those things, I assume, are very important both for policymakers and just for individuals saying, wow, if they're building new houses around here, you know, that means that they believe there's a need for more supply. And therefore, that's a good sign because I have a house that's ready to go. If I decide to sell that, now it may not be as nice as a brand new house, but it's ready to go.
That's right. And the South is leading the charge when it comes to new housing starts. They're building a lot of homes in places like Houston and Dallas.
Excellent. Let's take another call. We will now go to Bridget in El Paso. Bridget, go ahead. You've got the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm a 67-year-old female retiree trying very hard to relocate from my home in El Paso, Texas, because I dislike living here and the property taxes are too high, probably the highest property tax city in the state of Texas for residential property owners. Can you name a vibrant city where one might locate to, a retiree like me, for opportunities for reasonable property taxes and a good quality of living for retirees and affordable quality of living, quality of life?
Great question. We looked at this a few months ago in our biannual rent versus buy reports. We looked at where are great places for retirees to buy to retire to, and actually, to my surprise, the stereotypical retirement destinations actually came up from a financial and economic perspective as being some of the best places to retire. Mm-hmm. The Villages, Florida, actually came up as, I think, the number one city to retire in based on the combination of what it would cost to buy a house, what it would cost to rent the same house, and other costs of living, such as property taxes.
And this is a huge complex with plenty and plenty of homes.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. And inventory is actually on the rise in some of those places. So it means it's not going to be very difficult to find a home. Other places that do come to the top of that list are places like Sun City West, Arizona, as well. That's been, it was the first retirement destination, first retirement development, I should say, in the U.S. The Del Webb Company built Sun City, and then Sun City West. Can be a little hot there in the summer, but it's
be a little hot in El Paso.
That's true. It's a dry heat, as our caller would know from living in El Paso, and property taxes are fairly reasonable. In Arizona, especially if you can
too close to El Paso and the heat here. I want something very different. I want something cooler. Can you say anything about Nashville? I'd like to go, sir, where I can have a little fun. And I love country music, and it seems like those people have fun down there. Do you have any thoughts about Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, Nashville is it's probably one of the most stable markets in the U.S. It wasn't hit particularly hard during the recession. It's recovered, pretty strongly, but not as strong as other very, very expensive markets. Taxes there are relatively cheap compared to other places, especially compared to places like New York and California.
Is your report online?
It is.
Bridget, if you go to Trulia.com, Trulia.com, the report is there, and what would you look for?
Yeah, if you go to Trulia.com/blog/trends, and you just find our most recent rent versus buy report, which was from a few months ago, it's all there. It's called Best Places to Retire.
Okay, there you go, Bridget. I hope that's helpful to you, because that may be the solution to your problem, because going the other direction to the Villages is both hot and muggy, and that can be a problem too. My name's Tom Bakar. This is Money Talk, and Bob Brinker will be back next week. But for right now, let's take a message, and then we'll come back and finish up the show with Ralph McLaughlin from Trulia.
Money Talk.
They called it elephant skin. It was rough, wrinkly, like a Brillo pad.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Petey stopped eating and all his hair fell out.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly. There was hair all over.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Within 2 weeks, the shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days, and Sundance's coat was starting to get shiny and glossy.
It's a 180 turnaround. His
skin has cleared up. He is not in pain.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching
due to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. Dynavite for life.
Dinovite .com.
Hey guys, Dr. Drew, I want to talk to you about New Method Wellness. It's Orange County's premier addiction treatment center. They offer individualized treatment programs catering to each client's needs. In addition to drug treatment, they can handle dual diagnosis for co-occurring disorders such as mood disorders, bipolar, depression, generalized anxiety disorder. They have a well-trained, compassionate staff with over 300 years of collective sobriety amongst them. In addition to standard therapies, New Method offers holistic therapy for clients, including outdoor therapy, equine therapy, art therapy, acupuncture, and more. They put their emphasis where it counts, on extended aftercare and connecting patients with their alumni. They have extensive alumni programs, which provides long-term sobriety tools and a stable, sober community for all of their clients. And you will not be disappointed by the environment and the amenities. If you or someone you know needs help, call New Method Wellness at 844-35-SOBER. That is 844-35-SOBER. Or go to newmethodwellness.com/Dr. Drew. New Method Wellness, not your usual treatment center.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
It's Peter Tillman for Natron's Healthy Trinity. They changed my life, made me feel so much better after my surgery because they're a powerful probiotic. And as I always say, if you got indigestion or gas, get yourself some Natron's Healthy Trinity and see what it can do for you. They were the originators. A lot of other people make promises, but Natron has been delivering for over 35 years. There are also a lot of fly-by-night companies. They're made overseas. They're not shipped refrigerated, so the bacteria in there is not even alive. It's not even going to help you. You need a beneficial probiotic, one that's been tested. As a matter of fact, the term probiotic was introduced by the makers of Natron. It's made right here in the USA. It's gluten-free, recommended by doctors by name, and has a money-back guarantee. You can't do better than that.
Here's an amazing offer from my listeners. Call now for your 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity. The first 50 callers will get 30 days free with their order, plus free second-day delivery. So call toll-free 866-4-NATRON. That's 866-4-NATRON. N-A-T-R-E-N, or visit natron.com, enter promo code Peter, and get 30 days free.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-K-A-B-C.
And Tom Baker sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week. Sitting with me is Ralph McLaughlin, who's the chief economist for Trulia.com. And I don't know if many of you have heard this term, but in many larger cities, it's a fairly common term. It's called McMansion. And basically what it is somebody comes in and they buy a piece of property or in some places actually buy a house, knock that house over and put up a great big one, and it's called a McMansion. Ralph, talk about that a little bit. And is this a trend, and what happens when people do it? Because it really does change the characteristic of a neighborhood.
It does. We looked at McMansions very recently, just a couple weeks ago, and the height of McMansion building was actually between the recessions between 2001 and 2007. And we wanted to see, how the value of these homes have actually held up over time. And what we've discovered is that the value of, McMansions, which we're classifying as any home built between that time period and between 3,000 and 5,000 square feet.
Normally in the neighborhood of how many square feet?
You know, the median home now, I think, is about 2,000 square feet. So this is like substantially larger.
Big box next to your little box.
Exactly. And what we found actually surprisingly was that the value of these homes has actually dropped relative to other homes. They've dropped by, you know, about 20% just since the recession. So, you know, the premium, these homes are bigger and they're newer, so they're always going to be more expensive than the rest of the market. But the premium that home buyers are actually paying for them is dropping. And they're still more expensive, but that difference between a McMansion and all other homes is declining. And you know, that's kind of an interesting phenomenon. A lot of people don't like McMansions, cookie-cutter, big box homes, so to speak. And so, take our study and say, oh, they're ugly. We shouldn't have built them. But, you know, there may be more fundamental things at play, which is, number one, those houses were new, 10 years ago, and they're starting to age a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, homebuyers naturally, you know, not likely to pay as much for, you know, a used home than a new one.
So especially one that's more to take care of.
They do cost more money. So that's one thing. Second, you know, explanation why that's happening is that there were actually a lot of these things built just before the recession. So likely an oversupply of these types of homes. And in fact, if you look in several markets where this kind of McMansion building activity was high, Florida has seen some of the biggest increases. We're talking about, you know, drops in premiums by 40, 50, 60%. So, you know, that could be, you know, one explanation. So two, so far as one, they're not as new, and two, there's an oversupply. But there may also be a third reason why, you know, they're not valued as much. And that is that the typical home buyer for a McMansion, at least 10 or 15 years ago, was, you know, a Gen Xer, you know, in their you know, late 30s, early 40s, who has a family, you know, decent income, you know, maybe was able to put not a lot down on that home, and then lost them to foreclosure. Mm-hmm. And that demographic, Gen Xers, we talked about homeownership earlier, has actually seen the biggest drop, and they haven't come back. Mm-hmm. They haven't come back. And then if they're not coming back, they're probably not buying those homes. In fact, those who are, you know, starting to buy and sell homes are boomers starting to sell there and then retire. They don't likely want a big house in retirement. My parents certainly didn't, who just retired. They downgraded, cut their square footage in half. And, you know, millennials that, you know, some of them are starting to buy homes, but their first home, more often than not, isn't going to be a big McMansion. It's likely to be a starter, smaller home. So, you know, that's kind of the takeaway of what we looked at. But it was a very difficult thing to study because, you know, McMansion is kind of one of those things, you know it when you see it. But from, you know, a data perspective, and we're very much data focused, truly, it's tough to define. How do you define what something looks like? It's very difficult.
You just made it, because this has become the fodder of television shows. What about tiny homes? What about these little homes that just have a few hundred square feet, if that? How does that figure into the housing market these days?
You know, we think it's a trend. You know, we don't think it's a huge trend. We haven't seen a lot of a lot of data on this. I mean, certainly you see it in pop culture on TV shows and things like that. I did look at this briefly a couple of years ago, and actually the share of homes on the market in expensive places, you know, particularly San Francisco and New York, that were under 750 square feet, you know, so pretty small by most most homeowners' perspectives, is actually increasing. That doesn't necessarily mean that tiny homes are becoming the rage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're there, and I think at the fringes there are, you know, opportunities for home buyers, especially those that, you know, don't want to have the expenses of a big house. You know, finding a lot of land, getting a small house, putting on it, yeah, it may seem attractive, but, you know, it's not something that's driving the housing market.
What about we hear this all the time, and I'm just glad I thought of it right now. You know, you turn on TV, you listen to radio, there's always somebody out there that's got some plan to flip houses and make you rich in a hurry and all that stuff. Is there a lot of house flipping going on right now, and is it dangerous?
It is it's up over the last year. We're starting to see small upticks in flipping, in particular, two places, Las Vegas and Miami, seeing noticeable increases in flipping, you know, starting to get back to the levels of flipping that were occurring in 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. And so one takeaway is, oh my goodness, we're back to where we were. This is a dangerous thing, not good for the housing market. I'm not convinced that it's necessarily a bad thing, primarily because of the fact that in those markets, there were a lot of homes that were foreclosed upon. Miami and Las Vegas, well, Florida in general, and, mm-hmm. and Las Vegas and Southern California were sort of ground zero for foreclosures. And what happens when you have a lot of homes that go through foreclosures? Well, if they're not rented out, they sit there and they degrade. You know, mm-hmm. things, they're not kept up. And we think that actually led to a situation where there's a lot of homes that were ripe for flipping in a good way, where investors were buying them up and actually improving on the homes, making them better. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for the housing market. It's
especially
a good investment.
Especially if the ultimate buyer is somebody that's got the chops to actually afford to pay for it. It's different than just signing a piece of paper saying, I owe you this much money and it's 100% financing. That's just not happening, is it?
Yeah, it's not happening. And, you know, we don't see a lot of investment activity of where people are buying homes and sitting on them for pure price appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's speculation. And speculation mm-hmm. isn't necessarily, you know, a good thing when, you know, there are a lot of people doing it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay in limited capacities. And we think most flipping that's going on today is more actual improvement to the housing stock. Good mm-hmm. for investors. They get a return. Good for the housing market because the houses are becoming better quality from the flip. Mm-hmm. And home buyers benefit because there are many home buyers that don't want to have to go through the hassle of fixing up a house once they get it. They'd rather have it be turnkey. So we're not too worried about it. That doesn't mean that, it won't change. And you know, we might get more speculation. But, you know, we think it's a lot healthier of a flipping market than it was 10 years ago.
Last question to you. What is the prognosis for 2017, if you have one?
Continued price appreciation, but at a lower rate. Things are going to calm down a little bit.
Ralph Laughlin, thank you very much. Ralph Laughlin from Trulia, thank you so very much for coming. Bob will be back next week. My name is Tom Bakar, and you've been listening to Money Edge.
When you're investing, you always try your best, but sometimes you make mistakes, and that's okay because you can get better. And the same goes for your credit. By enrolling in Experian Credit Works, you get all the tools and personal support you need to help you understand and manage your credit. Because credit isn't just a score, it's a skill. So start your trial today at Experian.com and be better at credit at Experian.com.
Going back to the My Vegas thing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days, but she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite.
.com 859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.